A French Open update for AFT Hire, specialising in temporary fencing and portable toilet hire. AFTHire.com.au.
Yes, our man Brett Phillips right on the spot. G'day, Brett.
Morning, KB. Good to talk to you.
Brett, now I want to ask you about Maria Sharapova because she got booed off court. Tell us the background of this because she's the defending champion. And also I noticed overnight Eugenie Bouchard was knocked out of the French as well. And you only told us a few weeks ago when they were playing a Fed Cup game and she refused to shake hands with her opponent that Eugenie Bouchard and Maria Sharapova were the two most disliked girls on the circuit.
Yeah, certainly within the locker room, KB. But in regard to Sharapova and the French crowd, traditionally can be they can be pretty vocal if they don't like what they're seeing. Unlike, you know, the Wimbledon crowd is quite respectful. The Australian crowd who just gets into everything and loves it, a bit like the Americans. But the French crowd, they will turn on you if they don't get what they want. Now, normally the players will conduct a post-match interview out on court. I noticed the great Fabrice Santoro has been doing plenty of those. Now, Maria went into that first round match with a virus, was not 100%, and actually said, look, I don't want to do the interview. You know, my voice is not that good. And she just walked off court. So the French crowd didn't get to hear from Maria and booed her off, which I thought was a little bit unkind. But look, she is, you know, going to be a player that's going to be going pretty deep into this tournament, one would think. Although, hopefully, Sam Stosur might have something to say about it, that if she can get through her game tonight, because then she's likely to play Sharapova in the third round. So, yeah, they didn't take too kindly, but they're not always the most sympathetic, the French crowd.
But those on-court interviews are generally quite brief.
Yeah, well, often they're, to be honest, a little bit of a waste of time, KB, depending on the player. Some give a better account and take you inside, and some just really want to get off court. In regard to Eugenie Bouchard, there's no doubt she is really struggling. She's lost seven of her last eight matches. We go back 12 months before where she rose to number five in the world, had a great run at the majors and lead-up tournaments, but certainly she has found it a lot harder going. And that, the seven of her last eight matches, she's lost to girls much lower ranked than the WTA ranking. So that's tennis. We see so many players reach a real high. They can sink pretty quickly and that can go from week to week. It's grinding, it's grueling, it's tough to stay at the top and be consistent. But she's probably just needing to go away and regroup a little bit and just find the magic that really propelled her inside the top 10 last year, because she certainly hasn't got that at the moment.
That criticism she received during the Fed Cup when, you know, it was at before the game and that was part of the promotion of the Fed Cup, and her opponent, you know, turned around and put her hand out to shake her by the hand, and she just refused to shake her hand and then said, I never shake hands with my opponent. Do you think that criticism has got to her a little bit?
Look, I'm sure it probably has in some regard. I mean, you know, the tennis players, like all elite sports people, are, you know, scrutinised very heavily, particularly with, you know, social media these days, KB. And, you know, it's best that the players probably don't read that sort of stuff and stay away from it, but I suppose it's pretty hard to escape. And, you know, so many of the players are on Twitter now, and the tennis players do it exceptionally well. And a lot of them are quite good because they're on the road so often. You know, it's a real insight into their life and how they go about being a professional tennis player, but it can sometimes count against them. So yeah, look, she doesn't seem to be in a really good frame of mind at the moment, and she's had the unsettling position of change of coach, and just maybe the chemistry within her group that's travelling with her hasn't quite been right as well. And you need all those things to come together, particularly when you're, you know, in each other's pockets week in, week out.
James Duckworth last night put himself in a good position to win.
Yeah, look, really disappointing for the Duck, to be honest. He's done a terrific job to get inside the top 100, and he can get direct entry into the majors and the big tournaments. Won the first two sets last night up against the Italian qualifier, Anaboli, who just really found something. And in the end, James just made too many unforced errors. And, you know, to drop away and lose that final set 6-love, I reckon he we'll be doing a lot of reflecting today. It's not the end of the world. The good part about tennis is you get on your bike and you get to the next tournament, and you've got a long year ahead. So there's lots of you know, good signs for James going forward that he can, you know, probably get close to the top 50 by the end of the year. But that one was a very, very gettable one. And clay being probably his favourite surface, where he's really honed his game. Unlike a lot of the Australian players who have played the pro circuit here, he's gone abroad as a young guy and played a lot of tough matches in South America and Europe to really give himself a chance on the clay. So, yeah, disappointing result for James, but we've got six and three of them in action tonight, KB. The girls with Sam Stosur, Daria Gavrilova and Ila Tomljanović flying the Australian flag.
Do you expect all of them to win?
Stosur certainly on paper, although, you know, the French wild card, Amandine Hesse upset Yamila Gaidasova in the first round. I know Sam's gone to Yarka and asked her a fair bit of information and doing a fair bit of scouting on a girl who's ranked 272 in the world and really not on the radar. So Stosur, you know, certainly on paper should have the edge. Gavrilova and Tomljanović have got tough matches. Gavrilova plays Sabine Lisicki, who I've
very
always
good.
Thought should be probably higher ranked than what she is. So she's got a great serve, made a Wimbledon final, powerful off the ground. She's had a fair share of bad injuries over the years. I remember when she went off court in a wheelchair at a tournament going back 3 or 4 years ago. I think she'd busted her Achilles. She's the 20th seed, so she's fluctuated between 10 and 30 in the world with her ranking. She can be a bit hit and miss, but Gavrilova is a beauty, and I reckon she'll take it right up to Lisicki. Tomljanović takes on Angelique Kerber, who's having a great run on the clay this year. She was out of form at the start of the year, and she certainly found her mojo in the clay court tournaments over the last 3 or 4 weeks. She's a lefty, got that lefty serve, really solid off the ground. No major strength in her game that you'd say one shot's better than the other. Just pretty solid and consistent. So this will be a step up for Tomljanović to play against a girl who's not going to miss too often.
And it's tomorrow night that we've got Bernard Tomic taking on Kokkinakis.
Yeah, we have. So the French do it a little bit differently because we start on the Sunday. A lot of the players between round one and two get a couple of days off just to get themselves into gear. And look, it's going to be fascinating. I know there's been a write-up on Bernie from Leo Schlink, who's over there in Paris in the Herald Sun today. This is his battle this year. And this has been the real growth in maturity of Bernard Tomic. The fact that he's got his ranking right down and he's done it against the odds. He's had the back, he's had the wisdom tooth out, he's had niggling injuries. He's played a lot of good, tough matches and certainly not waving the waving the white flag these days, KB. Apart from that one loss in Miami to Thomas Burdick, where he really floundered in the final set, you really can't say that Bernard Tomic's put in a really bad match this year. Kokkinakis is getting closer, there's no doubt. He'd love to get one back on Bernard Tomic, who's won both their encounters this year. So that is going to be absolutely fantastic. In terms of the big seeds overnight, KB, Nadal, rock solid, got through. Djokovic as well was very good. Serena Williams, a little bit of a scare for Petra Kvitova. Did drop a set against Marina Arakovic, who had a chance to close that third set out, the New Zealander. She had a chance to go 5-4 and missed an opportunity. So Petra gets through. Ferrer, Wozniacki, all getting through. And apart from Eugenie Bouchard, the other big upset last night was Grigor Dimitrov, the boyfriend of Maria Sharapova, who, a bit like Bouchard, is finding it tougher. He's worked his way to the top 10, but certainly this year hasn't found the form that propelled him there last year. He's a good player without having taken that next step to being a really great player. And he took on Jack Sock, the American, who's pretty handy. And he
how old's Jack Sock?
His bags.
How old is Jack Sock?
Jack would be early 20s. Yeah, he's been coming along. He's got his ranking inside the top 50, and he's an emerging player. He's a big frame sort of guy, really strong off the ground, powerful ground strokes, good sort of all-court player, can get into the net as well. And he's one that is not too far away from being a seeded player. He's on the cusp at the moment, KB.
Brett, as always, brought to you by AFT Hire for all your temporary fencing and portable toilet hire. Call Graham or Sash, massive SEN listeners, on 1300 946 660, or log on to afthire.com.au. Now, Dr. Turf yesterday was trying to tell me that Rafa Nadal is no longer the muscle-bound Rafa Nadal, that he's lost a lot of his muscle, and he doesn't look as big and as strong as what he once was when he was dominating tennis. And he asked me the question, why is that? And, you know, Doc is always looking for something that's quirky and antagonistic about, you know, taking time off and always missing 2 or 3 months because he's got an injury. Doc's got his own theories on that. But do you think that Nadal is no longer that muscle-bound player?
Oh, he certainly looked pretty lean last night. He was wearing the light blue out on court last night. He looked fit for mine, but no doubt he looks a little bit leaner, KB. But I must say,
Doc's always got a conspiracy theory, you know that.
Did he elaborate on that?
Oh, well, you know, Doc, I could. For legal reasons, I won't say.
Not on air.
Not on air. That's the theory of Doc.
Rightio. Well, you never know. Might come out in the book one day.
But he's leaner.
He's definitely leaner. And I must say last night, though, his strength, and it's been a bit of his weakness this year, is that big off forehand. He runs around. He gets great angle. He really gets up on his toes and puts a ball back into play that the opponent cannot get to. And I thought last night that was a real feature of his game. I mean, look, he took nearly 2 hours to play a straight sets match. He's, you know, not for me, not aesthetically always the best player to watch in the Dale, but I reckon if he can just get through this first week, he'll relish the opportunity to play Djokovic, who no doubt is at the peak of his powers. But yeah, the body looks good. He looked in good nick last night, really, really solid. Hardly made an error in his match, and that's going to be the key for Rafa. But yeah, mentally, I just wonder, just with Djokovic having a better head-to-head of recent time, whether he can get over that little mental barrier.
He's always had that great ability, that strength in that that left arm of his, that yeah. Even when he's out of court, you know, the strength in that wrist and forearm to flick the ball back into play and get it down the line, or, you know, you think the ball's past him, but somehow he can still get that power to get it back across the court. Just wonder whether he's still got that.
Yeah, look, he's certainly still got that. I think he's just lost, for mine, a little bit of the fear factor. He's not the intimidating warrior that he probably was, Rafael Nadal. So I think there's more players now, KB, who are going out there thinking, I can actually beat Rafael Nadal. And that's half the battle, obviously, of the players coming up, is that self-belief. Now, Thomas Burdick has always had it for years. He can beat everyone except the big four. And that's why he hasn't been able to win a Grand Slam. Because you look at Thomas Burdick, the big, powerful, 6'4", hits the leather off the ball. He's a terrific stroke maker, but just somehow gets the yips and doesn't have that confidence and goes into his shell when he plays the big guys who are, you know, got a fair bit of court presence.
Well, the first serve is on tonight, right here on 11:16 SEN. Brett, yourself hosting, of course, with Paul Aitken and Charlotte James. That's from 11, so that's all the latest leading into all the action that's going to take place overnight. So we'll speak again tomorrow.
Thanks, KB.
Brett Phillips, always brought to you by AFT Hire.